thank you, thank you, Yahuwah Sabaoth. Thank you, Yahusha HaMashiach. Thank you to all of you who have prayed over me these last couple of days that I return fresh or refreshed, full of health, and out of spiritual warfare for the moment. Thank you. I'm pretty sure everybody saw the Grammys by now. Not because you're a fan of music, or maybe you are a fan of music, but for the most part, you want to see what type of symbolism, what type of foolishness, or satanic propaganda they want to force in front of your face to hope you, in hopes that you will digest it. But we know we are stronger than that. We are more discerning about these symbolisms and these propaganda programs that they try to unleash on the weak-minded. So we just sit there and watch with a sense of, not wonder, but a sense of hilarity. For instance, Alicia Keys. She got an award for the global, she got the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. I don't know what she impacted globally because she has not been relevant for the past, what, 5 or 10 years? And you saw her botch that Super Bowl performance when she couldn't hit that note. So what impact is she actually having on the rest of the world? I don't know. But she got this award, and she goes through her thank yous, and she's thanking Prince Hall Freemasons and Satanists and Luciferians. And then she mentions the Most High God. She says, thanks to the Most High God. And she puts up two fingers close together as like it's a peace sign, but the two fingers are close together in front of her. This is how lame they have gotten this far. I mean, obviously, they have to give honor and respect to the God that gave them the platform, that's given them the awards. She is meaning the Baphomet or the Freemason God or just Satan, which goes by many names. That's who she means. You know, we can go to scripture when he says that Satan wants to be like the Most High. So to them, this is their kingdom. Their kingdom is this world. Our kingdom is above. So they are congratulating the God that made this place their heaven. And it's really lame, too. Because at the end of the day, they must know that Satan is going to lose. They must at least know the story. Before going into it, they must know some part of the Bible in Revelation that says that Satan is going to fall. But I'm pretty sure they're being told that he's going to be released upon the world for another 1,000 years. So it makes it seem in their minds that he must be bringing them with them to reign for thousands of years. I'm not in these people's meetings, but all I can do is guess. Because to be this comfortable with Satanism in these last days is hilarious to me. Because if they really were about that life, they would just come out and say it. Instead of just doing symbolism, just say it. We love Satan. I don't think people would care at this moment. I think people are so dumbed down, in a stupor, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, they could care less. If you came out and said, we worship Satan, and he is the one that's providing for us, you maybe would lose, what? Maybe 30% of the population. Maybe. Maybe. But the joke is, Satan wants everybody, so he has to deceive everybody. They have to tell you who they are, but at the same time, not in the way that's so blatant that you completely turn your back on it. He has to give you a back door to his world. He has to make you question the Most High's ways in order for you to walk into that back door. So he can't get you to completely turn your back on him. So if he can keep enticing you, enticing you, enticing you, and because you don't have a strong built-up faith or a strong Ruach HaKodesh, you will start to doubt the Most High, then doubt yourself. Then say, my old ways were kind of better than my new ways. Let me turn back and see if I can get some of that feeling, that euphoria, but still try to walk hand in hand with the Most High at the same time. This is why they don't come out full fledged or full form. Because the final entrapment is not set yet. The final entrapment is merging all of these religions into one. And you can't merge everything into one if you set a polar opposite of Yah's people or people who are in the middle of not knowing where they're supposed to be, and then complete Satanists. So that's why everything is kind of not watered down, but everything is merging slowly to the point where when they get you in that final entrapment, you can't turn back. If you're not reading the prophecies mentioned in Ezra, Baruch, Revelation, and even the Old Testament, if you are not preparing yourself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually of destruction that's going to happen, you are going to walk in to man-made destruction, doubt the Most High, then turn back, and then when you're comfortable with turning back because you think it's all over, then Yahusha shows up. Then Yahuwah shows up. Then tribulation shows up. Then you caught, because then you're going to be more pissed at the Most High than pissed at yourself, because been you in the system for so long, it's helping you go, it's helping you build up the me doctrine in you. And that's what most of these churches are. Me. Look at me. I'm talking about other pastors that are Prince of Freemasons. Me. Look at me. I'm wearing my Greek lettering so everybody knows that I'm a part of something. Me. I'm talking against gays. Meanwhile, I'm a pastor and having sexual relations with the choir director. Me. I'm buying my wife Lamborghinis and Ferraris and big houses and mansions off the church's money. But because I'm godly ordained to preach the gospel of Christianity. Me. After a while, that me is, well, I don't deserve to be in tribulation. I don't deserve all of this that's going on because I am not the people that's in charge of doing it. So why punish me? That's how a lot of people are going to feel. It's even mentioned in Revelations. The Most High will give you time and space to repent. And people will not repent of their ways. Why? Because the narcissism and the arrogancy and the pride and ego built up in them, thinking that they don't have to do it because they went through man-made destruction. They think, oh, the Antichrist showing up is who Yahusha really is. So when it's going to be a period of calm, even when it says in scripture, he said, I will come like a thief in the night. That means if you're not watching when it's calm, it's not going to be when it's violent and tribulation happen all around. So you, when you expect the Savior to come back, be like, oh, that's when the Antichrist is going to show up. When Yahushua's saying he's going to be a thief in the night, when Yahuwah says he's going to be a thief in the night, it's going to come at a time where everything is calm. At night means everybody's asleep. Everyone's comfortable, serene, chilling. That's when the Most High is going to show up. He's not going to show up when you expect him to show up, which is when all this destruction of what man is doing, what Freemasons are doing, what satanic Luciferians are doing, when they are doing it, you expect a savior. When it's calm, you won't expect nothing because you think, oh, the bad part is over already. But the Most High just getting started. So this is the dangers, really, of one, not looking at yourself in the mirror and correcting your ego, your pride, your arrogancy, and also not watching for the signs. Now, they're going to get a little bit more boastful about who they worship later on, but it has to be at a perfect time, like I said, when they can entrap all of the religions and merge them into one. The other thing I laughed about in this Grammy Awards ceremony is Beyoncé's fake surprise, her fake shock. There's a reason why that movie Obsessed was horrible. There's a reason why she hasn't acted since. She can't act. It's hilarious. She literally the only one out of the whole table. She's the only one that did the robot shock. Like, And her daughter sitting right next to her, looking at her like, why are you acting like this? We already know you won. As if she already was around enough to hear conversations about who was going to win before they got there. I don't know if I didn't watch all of it, but it seems to me they didn't do the contestants or those who were nominated, and they did the thing they do where they do all of the pictures or all the video for the reactions of the people who are nominated, and they watch to see who wins, and they all do the clapping, and one gets excited, the other just clap for them. They didn't really show that. Or maybe I didn't watch it all the way. But the cameraman was already in front of her. Jay was in the back. She was next to her daughter. And obviously, they are pushing her daughter in front because they're showing you she is of almost of sexual age. She's 14. You saw her with that tight dress off the shoulders and kind of pressing her cleavage a little bit. For a 14-year-old, they're getting ready to offer her. She's coming into her own. This is the prime age when they start offering up their children. And you were looking at me like, how could you say that? Like, she loves Blue Ivy, blah, 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 blah. But you forget who these people truly are. Did we not see a video of Beyonce in her fake pregnancy? You think they're going to tell you the truth after we've seen her grab the fake moon bump? We've seen Jay-Z wear the Do What Thou Wilt. That's from Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley believed in sex magic. He believed, as all Freemasons believe, the higher ups, the high-ranking Freemasons, they believe if you steal a child's youth or innocence, you are granted to the gates of Masonic heaven. If you sexually abuse children, if you vampire, this is called vampirism, or if you use the children's blood, and we call it adrenochrome. If you use the children's blood in a sacrifice in the ritual, you are offered immortality. That's what they believe. If you remember, I'm sure you remember because it was funny. Jaden Smith, he wore a castle on his head or a house on his head. We saw that as House Negro. Because obviously they're mocking Negroes during this time of February, because February equals 42 in reduction gematria, so does the N word equals 42. So this is why they put Black History Month on February. It's not because of the shortest day of the month, it's because it's the only month that equals 42 and the N word equals it in the same cipher. Jaden Smith had a castle on his head. They said the explanation was that it was an ode to the vampiric stories or legends of the Bathories. If you know the story of Elizabeth Bathory, the legend was she bathed in the blood of young children that she and her servants ritualistically sacrificed. But in truth, what she did with her servants with over a couple of years, or maybe few years, I think, was torture and kill young women, young children. That's what she was doing. So he's given an ode to this woman, which backs up Aleister Crowley. Because Aleister Crowley believes sexually abusing children to reach this higher form of spirituality. And Jay-Z and most of Hollywood uplifts this Masonic doctrine. So to think that they're not offering up their child, you're completely naive to the doctrine of Freemasonry and Aleister Crowley. So Jay, you would think that he would be, happy for her, clapping his hands, give her a hug, nothing. He just walks over to her and whispers in her ear. What is he whispering? I don't know. It could be an altar. It could be like a phrase of words that'll make her come out of a different altar and go into another altar so she could do the speech. I don't know. But it wasn't like, oh, some congratulations, you do the best, like a hug or nothing. Where everybody's expecting to see some type of emotion between you and him since he's not even sitting next to you. This is how pathetic it has gotten. But I don't think they know. I don't think they know any better to try to change it to make it seem or look cool. It just looks weird and stupid now. Kanye and Bianca, they literally dressed up to go on a red carpet to do this little thing they did and to get back in the car and take off. And then people say, oh, she's a slave, she's controlled, and then you see a video of her at a party afterwards acting like her normal self. These people signed up to do this. Feminism is boasting, oh, the man, the patriarchy making her. They don't take no accountability for themselves, and they definitely don't take accountability or force accountability on their own gender in this generation. As if she can't say no to nothing. Ain't nobody making that woman do anything. They want to do it. They want the fame. Satan does not force you to do anything. Satan does not put a gun to your head and say, be a Prince or Freemason. Satan does not put a gun in your head and say, wear a sheer dress, showing your entire body, and stand in front of the cameras. Satan does not force you to do nothing. He can entice you. He can cause, but he does not force you. Even in your personal life, he is not going to force you to turn back and go into sin. He can cause it. He can trouble you. He can be a stumbling block. But at the end of the day, if you deny him three times, and that's all it takes, he will leave for a season, just like he left Yahusha for a season. His will was only, if you understand all of Scripture, he only entered. If it only says that he entered Judas. Of all the wickedness that were around the Israelites, he was allowed to enter Judas. Not even the high priest, not even Pilate, but Judas. And Judas didn't even raise a hand to Yahusha. All Judas did was go run and snitch and sell. And sell secrets. That's all Judas did. Judas didn't smote Yahusha. Satan jumped in, jumped out. Jumped in, jumped out. But that was his, that was Judas's destiny. Because he was already picked, handpicked, that this was going to happen. So none of you are handpicked by Satan for him to enter you to force you to go do something. He can only cause. So this woman, regardless of what her life story was or is, she wanted to be famous. So she leapt at the chance to walk around this the whole entire time. And this is how they built it up. They let her walk around with him the whole time with these weird outfits on. So when you get to the Grammys, you're not really shocked, but you're kind of shocked. If they just show her all dolled up and looking conservative, you wouldn't think nothing. But if she all of a sudden showed herself like this, you would have really been like, oh, it would have been bigger than the whole entire award ceremony. So they kind of toned it down enough for you to focus on a lot of things and not just on her being naked. But this goes back to 2 Baruch chapter 27, verse 12. When all the things listed that were going to come in the last days, one of those things in verse 12 was unchastity, nakedness, lewdness, lascivious behavior. To everybody else, it's shocked. But to those who read Baruch, not as shocked. You know it's going to get worse than this. And the funny thing about this, she's so subconsciously programmed through her own wickedness or her own lasciviousness that she literally tried to pull down this see-through hem of this skirt as if she had full frontal coverage. I'm like, what are you pulling down the hem for? You literally can see your cooch and your breasts. What are you pulling down? You're literally naked. That's how funny and hilarious it is. That's how subconsciously and nervous these people are. Even when they sign to do this, they're so nervous and knowing what goes on. If you're a real man and this is what your doctrine is, if you're a Masonic person, why would you need to wear sunglasses? Kanye's sitting there with sunglasses. It's so funny that these celebrities are so high and mighty on themselves with this God complex that they always have, in times of real stress and real attention, they put sunglasses on. That means they're trying to hide what they really are. That they know they're shameful and they know it's embarrassing. They have a little bit of that Ruach left that convicts them. Because if they were really proud, he would have snatched them shades off and be like, yeah, I'm doing this. This is what I'm doing right now. And be proud of it. But they hide behind those shades. You never wondered that? You never wonder why most of these celebrities, even when they're on their own platforms and they're being interviewed or somebody interviewing them, they got shades on? When they go to these talk shows and there's like a crowd, they put shades on? When they say the eye is the window of the soul, when Yahushua says if a man has a little bit of darkness in his eye, his whole body would be filled with darkness, they aren't proud of that. They didn't start off as Satanists. They didn't start off as Luciferians. They started off as people who wanted to show their art, show their talent. But then over time, they corrupted themselves because Satan has caused them to worship fame, success, and money over worshiping the Most High. And you don't have to be a celebrity to understand this. Some of you are pulled away in different directions because of you want the fame that you seek or the level of fame that you see in your eyes that you want. It'll start pulling away and you'll start going from one direction to another. And you think that you can keep one foot in Babylon and one foot in scripture and be able to walk at the same time. But over time, eventually, that ego, that pride, that narcissism is going to rise up in you for you to make a decision on which way you'll go. That's what makes the entrapment, the last day entrapment, so I got to give them their respects to it. That's why they're so meticulous of how they do it. They know they don't have that much time left, but they know that there's enough programming, there's enough images, there's enough movies, music, politics, and sports that'll get you right down that lane for you to split from the Most High to go Satan's way. Some of you are just one paycheck for giving up your entire soul. One paycheck. Some of you are just one paycheck away to give up your entire soul because you don't know what to do if you miss one check. You don't know what to do if you miss one month of rent. You don't know what to do if you miss one cell phone bill. You don't know what to do if you don't get groceries in your refrigerator. And you start turning or start thinking about sin. And even if you joke about it, I've seen a lot of people online joke about OnlyFans. Like, damn, I'm working and enslaving for this system. And here OnlyFans women are making millions or $100,000 a week doing sex acts and or showing their feet or showing their bodies. And you just see your rent being paid from this avenue, but you don't see the spiritual bill that comes afterwards. This is why I call this episode a Yahushua mood, because he talks so much about the parables in the last days and the parables of himself and the parables of the mentality of people that he was around when he was trying to teach and preach and have them learn his ways and learn the mysteries of the kingdom. You really have to look at it from that perspective. Hebrews 10:5-9. And wherefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering offering you would have no delight, but a body have you prepared me. In ascending smoke offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. Why? Because the Israelites were abusing the privilege, abusing the right of the sin offering. Sin was getting so out of control that they were offering almost every other day, I'm assuming. That it held no value. Because of the wickedness around the Israelites, they were diving into other nations and then trying to merge the offerings of the Most High with the gods of that time. Chemosh, Baal, Tammuz. So this is why it said, in ascending smoke offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the rolls of the sefer it is written of me to do your will, O Elohim. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and ascending smoke offerings and offering for sin, you would have no delight, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the priestly regimen. Then said he, lo, I come to you, do your will, O Elohim. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. So Yahusha being, or the fulfillment of sin offering for dying as an unblemished lamb, an unblemished offering to the Most High for our sins, so we can get the chance of repentance. And so knowing this, we are able to turn from sin, to turn from our wickedness, and to trust the Most High. When we don't trust the Most High and we're in wickedness, we don't have a way out. Or not say we don't have a way out, but when we do things our own way, we don't see the way out because we're trying to fix them on our own way because we are removed from the Most High. So when we do that, if we miss a paycheck here and there, if we miss rent, if we miss groceries, our minds are connected to sin. It's connected. How will we be able to afford the necessities by doing it the worldly way? Because we no longer would trust on the Most High. This is the whole point of Yahusha. If we kept relying on sin offerings, the Most High would be eventually tired of our sin offerings. So the Most High is tired of us sinning after sinning after sinning and just repenting after sinning and repenting after sinning. So after a while, if you're sinning after repenting 100 different ways, that's not repenting. That is a decision or a choice that you have made. So the Most High is going to cast away the old way of doing things and establish the new, so we no longer have to sin anymore, because we have an example. We have the parables. We have the man in the flesh himself. So there is no excuse for us to turn away from the Most High. So when it comes to our necessities and the parables of Yahusha, he lets us know. He gives us a way. Luke 12, 15 to 18, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Elohim said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Elohim. But is not rich toward Elohim. So I'm not offering my sending smoke offerings for sin. I'm not giving my new moon offerings for sin. I'm not blowing the trumpet on my feast days for sin. My drink offerings are not for sin. If the Most High gives me abundance, that means I offer to him as thanks for these riches, for the abundance. So I'm not storing up stuff for myself in order for me to be at ease and relax and not depend on the Most High for anything. On the flip side of that, verse 31 to 33, but rather seek ye the kingdom of Elohim, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. And of course, in that chapter, he talks about if the Most High can cover the grass, if the Most High can provide for the sparrow, if the Most High can give to the lower valued creations, then he can most definitely provide for you in your time of need, because he knows, as the scripture states, he knows what you need. He knows what you require. He knows your necessity. This is why we need to be closely walking with the Most High, especially in this system in these last days. Sin is not going to be profitable much longer. OnlyFans is not going to be profitable much longer. Gambling, trying to predict football scores and sports games, is not going to be profitable forever. You are relying on worldly means. Now, you can give me the song and dance of being wise as a serpent and soft as a dove, but if you are not relying on the Most High to provide for you, but you're trying to provide for yourself through the means of the Ruach HaKodesh in a worldly manner, you're going to become a stumbling block to yourself. A stumbling block to yourself. Luke 12, 22 and 23, and he said unto his Talmudim, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment. And some of you are like, oh, but I don't know. I don't know what to do, because I still see myself as a sinner. I don't know if I'm ready for repentance. I know if I repent, I'm going to keep repenting, because I haven't been willing to give up my vices, been willing to give up the things that have afforded me my way to be comfortable in my lifestyle. And you have to ask yourself, what do you want? Do you want to be comfortable, or do you want a celebration in heaven for the day that you actually repent? As it's mentioned in Luke 15, 7 through 10, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of Elohim over one sinner that repents. Joy. That means the angels in heaven are rejoicing and ready to work to make sure you are benefited for repenting. That means they are helping you not turn back. That means they help you find the necessities. They help you put yourself in situations and opportunities that you need to rely on worldly means to provide for your household. If I can go back to the post that I posted on Sight to the Blind Instagram, where this brother was talking about, it wasn't our true job or role to provide for the woman. He said that when Adam was given the Garden of Eden, he was given it was given to him for him to manage. And then the Most High said, it's not good for man to be alone. Let me get a helpmeet for him. It didn't say give him somebody that he had to provide for. Give him somebody that he had to manage. Give him a helpmeet. So when he was managing the garden, Eve was helping him manage the garden. It was only when she caused Adam to sin. Mind you, the serpent didn't force Eve to eat. She caused her to eat, which caused Adam to sin by hearkening to his woman. So when they were thrown out of the garden, thrown out, then he had to provide. Then he had to work, toil, till he had to eat his bread, at, you know, what it said, the sweat of his face. So until he was returned to the ground, he had to work, provide, protect for the rest of his days. If he stayed within the garden, everything was already provided. He didn't had no want of anything. He was already in abundance. When you decide to walk Satan's way or walk in between, which is still a lukewarm way, which is going to cause you to be spewed out of his mouth, you are going to be providing, protecting all the days of your life in sweat and toil because you do not have the protection or the hedge of the Most High. And I thought about myself. I don't think I'm providing anything for my family. The Most High is giving me opportunities to provide for my family and my household. I don't work. The Most High has provided an opportunity for me not to work. He has provided me a space and time to do the things I need to do for this household without having to seek outside pleasures or outside opportunities. Now, he keeps the opportunities very relative to me, but I don't go seek to find it. There was a time where the Most High raised up a man I haven't talked to in years, literally haven't talked to in years. His relative owns Live, the nightclub at the Fountain Blue. He hits me out of the blue, out of nowhere, and says, I got an opportunity for you. Topps wants to pay you $20,000 to sign autographs. I haven't heard from this dude, like I said, in years. I was like, all right, cool. I signed those things in a day. I usually sign maybe 1,000 just for like for a small amount of money. But I've signed less for more money. This can only be accomplished through Yah by my ascending smoke offerings, my new moon offerings, my feast days, my prayer life, my walking right, my righteousness. I hadn't even been able to leave the house to do most things, and this is what I'm doing to the Most High under my roof. Or I should say under his roof that he provided. If you do more, more is required of you. So because I do more, my blessing's a little bit more. But that comes from not from a place in time where I've not been able to manage money. And now I'm being able to manage it to receive the blessing. So the Most High had to purge me. It wasn't overnight. The Most High had to purge me from my materialism, my whole behavior, my drunken behavior. He had to see and find out and for me to look at myself and say, all right, if I'm going to exalt you and bless you, I need to know you can hold the blessing. I need to know that you can establish yourself, that you won't fall. You won't be a snare or stumbling block to yourself if I give you the blessing. Because I know your past behavior when you have gotten it on your own. I know what you could do when you've gotten it on your own. I won't allow you to waste my blessing. So I need to put you on the treadmill to the Ruach HaKodesh. I need to train you in my ways in order for you to receive, appreciate, and hold on to the blessing. This is what you got to start understanding when you're walking in his ways. We know what you can do for yourself. We know you can benefit yourself with your own mind in the worldly manner. We know that. But it's going to come a time when those opportunities get shut off and you don't know where to go or what to do. So you start corrupting yourself in order to establish your household still. But if you give up your own way and if you allow the Most High into your life to know what you actually need, the necessities, you won't have anything to worry about because Yahushua has told us through that parable that we have nothing to fear, that we have nothing to worry about, that he will not let us starve. And I say this all the time. I feel like I say it all the time on this podcast. That the Most High has never punished anybody for doing it the right way. I have never seen the Most High in Scripture of somebody who's righteous that he felt like, all right, I'm going to uproot and destroy this person's house while he's doing the Torah, while he's doing my offerings, my feast days, my Shabbats. I have not read it. Not one scripture have I read that the Most High has uprooted an entire family or entire household for doing it the right way or doing it his way. I've never seen it. I never seen or read any scripture that the Most High allowed any family to go starving, to whore themselves out to provide for the house if they're already following the Torah, if they're already following Shabbats, if they're following new moons, if they're following feast days. I have not seen it. I have not read it. So don't let abundance and gathering of treasures for yourself be your only thing. Don't let that be the success of your household. Don't let your own wisdom fool you into thinking that I don't need really the Most High. Let me rely on my worldly knowledge and wisdom to provide for myself and think that it can't be spoiled. As it's mentioned with the rich man who stowed up his treasure, his goods. Because what will you do? What will your goods be when your soul and your body is snatched from this earth? You think the Most High not going to know your heart and your mind when it comes to you gathering things for yourself in hopes that tribulation doesn't touch your household or touch your resources or touch your goods? I said this before. People who are getting into storing up canned goods and water and all this ahead of schedule. Like, it's good to prepare, but if the Most High really hasn't put it in your heart to really prepare that way, why do it? Because then you're going to be watching the news day in, day out, over-obsessing, thinking, okay, once it starts at canned goods, then it's going to go to toilet paper. Once it goes from toilet paper, then it's going to go to a generator. When it goes from a generator, then you're going to be looking at for a bug-out bag. The bug-out bag leads you to a bug-out shelter. The bug-out shelter leads you to something else. You're going to keep going and putting yourself in fear, and the Most High is going to watch you like a rabbit run all the way around this place, like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to provide for your household by means of a bug-out. And you're not truly allowing the Ruach to talk to you, the Ruach Chokmah, the Ruach wisdom, the Ruach of understanding to really dwell within your spirit, because then you have formulated the spirit of fear. I thought to myself, maybe I should just stock up on canned goods too and buy a generator. Then I haven't felt the need, or the Ruach has never led me to buy any of those things. Even when it's overly advertised on like TikTok and social media, every other post is like, oh, you know, Trump, you know, he did this with the tariffs, so you need to prepare for the blackout. I'm a little bit logic in this sense. If I know they're trying to make 15-minute cities, and I know they're trying to, through mainstream media and movies, they're trying to destroy New York some kind of way. I mean, they may overdo it. If you look at the Fantastic Four trailer, They're trying to overdo the destruction of New York, but it's going to be a lot quieter than that. It's not going to be what you see on the movies of, you know, extreme weather and things falling out of the sky. It ain't going to be that bad. But it's going to be in a way where you're so dumbed down to it, you'll accept the least possible solution of the destruction because you've been seeing an over-dramatized sense of the destruction. You're going to be okay with whatever comes underneath that. But I haven't had the sense of trying to stock up on anything because I don't live in New York. I don't live in a 15-minute city or a place they're trying to make a 15-minute city. At the most, I may lose 3 or 4 days or maybe a week in power, maybe if that. I have cash laid to the side, but not all of my money out of my account. I don't have water stacked up. I just have enough that'll get me through. Say like if the water don't work for some reason, I'm going to be okay with a couple of gallons of water that I use from a service I get called Ready Fresh Direct or Ready something, Ready Refresh or something like that. They sell like those little water coolers that I have. So I'm prepared for like a couple of days, but I'm not prepared for like a month because I don't feel like I need to. But like I said, let's go back to what Yahusha said. Luke 17:28-33. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Seems pretty normal to me, right? It goes back to what I said earlier in the episode. It goes back earlier what I said. That no one's looking for the Most High at a time of calmness and stillness when things are as usual. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, Yahuwah rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Adam is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's woman. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So Yahusha's saying, in the last days, because people have stored up treasures for themselves, built up their household, built up all their bug out materials, that they're going to lose their life trying to save themselves with the things they accumulated through fear. Through the untrust of Yahuwah. People who are in the field want to return to home. And we've seen this in the California fires. People are trying to come back to their houses or never leave their houses when their whole entire house is surrounded by flames. You're going to see the mentality of how people are. Through man-made destructions. You get a little bit of taste of it. Some of you are already had that taste of it. Of a man-made destruction, and you're forced to flee your home, your homes. You're alive and listen to me now because you have trusted in the Ruach HaKodesh to make quick decisions to save your family. Now you will be rebuilt. There's that scripture that says, you would be replenished. Whatever the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust have eaten, I will reestablish you. I will give it back to you. Just like Job had all his stuff taken away and been given more stuff after he understood the lesson. Now that most of you have understood the lesson through man-made destructions or whatever man-made destructions that happen either by your own hand in your personal life or whatever these Freemasons are doing and Luciferians are doing, you will be rebuilt because your faith depends on it, because your faith will be glorified through it. There's people in this country right now have no idea what to do, even those who are in religion. And because they are in religion, they think and they believe that all their years of doing Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Halloween at sometimes, and they think by doing these holidays and these pagan days that they have toed the line for the system, that they should never be touched. They pay taxes, they should never be touched. They should never be tried. They go to Sunday. They put money for the building fund. They should never be tried. They should never see tribulation. And as soon as they are touched, because they're a part of the system, they're leaving the faith or whatever faith they had. Because they do not know how to read the scripture of the Old Testament. They don't know how to walk the laws, the statutes, the commandments. They don't know the hedge that needs to be built up in order for them to hold, take care of, and establish themselves from the blessings they would have had if they did it the right way. Don't be these people, is what I'm saying. Do not be these people. And you're going to be able to see more of these NPCs, these non-playable Christians. You're going to see a lot from them when they start obsessing about the fear that's being caused and why they don't feel like God is working, Jesus is not hearing them, where they go feel like their religion is not working. They are going to be a part of the entrapment. Because if Satan is trying to be like the Most High, you know all that fire and brimstone is going to be the man-made version of it, which is rockets, missiles, drones, explosions, planes running into helicopters. Like, come on, fam. You can't believe that. You can't believe that story. You're trying to tell me they pulled out 67 bodies out of that Potomac River. Do anybody know personally these people? Does anybody know personally the military personnel that was on board that helicopter? Do you know any of them? We know from the 1980-something Challenger that blew up when most of us was young and we watched it in school. We really thought these people died. It wasn't until 20 years later that we find out these people have been alive the entire time. Some of them are in public teaching, not even hiding who they are. So they want you to believe 67 people, that they have the power to take out a plane with 67 people and a helicopter with three or four military personnel would run into a plane with no black box, no communications between a helicopter, nothing. But then they tell you that they have a Black Hawk drone helping the Los Angeles fires. Then they had a woman brag about having a Black Hawk drone in D.C. that could fly to Boston and back. But they want you to believe all these people in this mass death. They want you to believe that this man who lost his wife coming from Kansas City, because you've seen a picture of him, you don't know him, you weren't at his wedding, you're not in his life, you weren't at his house to establish if this man was married to this woman or not, but you take the TV's word for it that this man lost his wife. Literally, they do the interview in a car almost the night of the incident. That this man is not crying, he's not bawling, he's not in despair. This man lost the love of his life, a young man at that, that he acts so out of order and out of character that he's answering these questions and saying, well, you know, I tried to text my wife and when the messages weren't going through, I knew something was wrong. If any of you lose your significant other, is the first thing that's on your mind is to go talk to a camera crew? Are you not trying to call your significant other's parents and siblings and relatives? Are you not going to deal with your own grief that this happened? That your love of your life is snatched from you this way? You think the first thing that's going to enter your mind is to talk about the text messages that didn't go through, that you were waiting for a television crew to show up and so you can get interviewed? Man. But this is what I mean. This is what I mean. I went a little bit over. This is why I'm going to break this up in a couple of episodes. It's going to be called the Yahusha mood, because this is the mood we have to be in to prepare ourselves for the end times. I'm just starting off with his parables, but I'm going to finish off with his mood. Because I think we need to have Yahushua's mood in the presence of our enemies. And this system is our enemy. We need to learn to have his type of composure. His type of mentality when dealing with those who are snared by this system, entrapped by this system, a part of this system. Because Yahushua dealt with that when it came to the lawyers, the publicans, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, in the most extreme levels, especially when they sought to destroy his life. And him going into this situation knowing that. I'll talk about that in the next episode. I got too hyped.